So I think between the pitch timer stuff, you know, the first ball on Guthrie there with Trev in the eighth, the walk with Manoa, you know, you can't let those things happen. I think we're at the point where, you know, we need to tighten that up. And, you know, that part of it is tough. You know, the ball that was hit the center that KK got in, a little bit of miscommunication with Espy there and Bo. You got to play a little bit tighter to win those games.
See, here's the thing. None of that is going to explain why Alek Manoah can't get anybody out with the slider. None of it. None of that explains why the hell a guy who's sick is pinch hitting. You know, I'm going to have a hard time letting that one go, Bark. The Jays pitchers were nailed for two pitch timer violations last night in that 8-4 loss to Philadelphia. Trevor Richards was nailed for his violation because he threw his last warm-up pitch too late.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, and we got plenty to talk about after last night's game. We got a ton of time to talk about Manoah. We got a ton of time to talk about the decision to send Springer up there. Barker's talked me off the ledge about sending Trevor Richards out for another inning, but I'll let him do it to you because I know a lot of you are going, what the hell, Trevor Richards? I mean, You take those three outs and boom, you move on. I mean, you know, that's pitching's version of lightning in a bottle. Anyhow.
Is it really?
No, he's been pretty good.
He's been great.
But I'm going to let you explain that because I came in all, I wouldn't want to see Trevor Richards for two innings. Yeah, tell me how many times he's blah, blah, blah.
You are the best armchair manager in baseball.
I certainly
you
am.
You are. Second to none.
Barker very casually explained to me why sending him out there made sense. Nate Pearson, on the other hand, we can talk about Nate Pearson as well. That defensive play, we can talk about that. But anyhow.
Man, there's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot. That was not a that had shades of that Boston Red Sox
play
series.
Play bad, you get beat on the road.
But I did want to just talk about the pitch timer violations because I want to move on from it. But it's something that really, really sticks in my craw. Because here's the thing. I will bet you right now that in the playoffs this year, there will be a hitter, several hitters who will be called for pitch timer
several
violations.
Several might be strong.
There'll be a couple. It's not just going to be one. Bryce Harper got called last night. Hitters are having a harder time adjusting to this than pitchers.
Have you seen numbers?
No, but let me finish. Pitchers will adjust to it because even with the pitch timer, what happens in baseball? Nothing until the pitcher throws the ball. So I'm prepared to put up with my hitter getting a pitch timer violation because he didn't look up soon enough or make eye contact with the pitcher. That's going to happen. But I'm certainly not prepared to have my pitchers not understand. I mean, I don't even know how you don't understand the rule, but the warm-up pitch. Warm-up pitches. I knew about it. I mean, I wasn't thinking of it at the time, but yeah, I was aware that you had to, you know.
Chop, chop. I didn't really.
And
I thought it's silly.
It is a silly rule.
It's silly, but
it's a rule that was agreed to by the Players Association.
Two minutes and 15 seconds between innings. You have to have your warm-up pitches done by the 30-second mark.
Yeah.
Really? Anyway. Okay.
And then the Alek Manoah one
that's a dude searching
Brandon
for his best
Marsh.
Pitch. He's more thinking about that.
That's going to be the segue. Brandon Marsh walked. Of course, he ends up scoring on that defensive play that was not made by Kevin Kiermaier.
Was it?
Wanted to get that. Well, it was a defensive play that wasn't made. The ball was hit to Kevin Kiermaier. So whether it was Kiermaier's fault,
don't yell at me. You're saying it wrong.
The fact is.
You're yelling at me.
Well, it was somebody. Espinal or Bichette, communication issue, whatever. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about. Well, that's what the skipper said.
Why he's lying?
Okay. Well, Jesus, the show's going off the rails already.
I love John, but
Lance, play the music again. Let's just take it from the top, all right? Because this train is all over the place.
Like,
well, I'm not all over the place.
Because
we've got a lot to talk about.
There is a ton.
So let's go back. Okay, so all that. I'm extremely annoyed that the pitch timer is still an issue for this team. It bothers me. And
they
now
they need to fix it, is your point.
You know what else? Now, you know what else they also need to fix? Yeah, and for the manager to talk about it the way he talked more about it, it's clearly an issue.
He said it, he's had that conversation more than once already.
Alek Manoah.
Ooh.
Second game in a row, no swinging strikes on his out pitch, the slider.
That's second amazing. Game in a row. That is amazing, right?
Even more amazing. This isn't really amazing. Sixth time in eight starts, right? Sixth time. Where are my numbers? I was just looking at it here a minute ago. Ba 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 ba. Sixth time in eight starts, he hasn't been able to complete six innings. That's how many times that happened the entirety of last season. So,
but let's start this first of all before we jump into what we're seeing with Alek Manoah,
or maybe it's what we're not seeing.
Do you think just by putting Danny Jansen behind the plate when he pitches would help? Let's start there.
You're asking me?
Well, you're part of this show. Yeah.
Dr. Jansen's pitching. Would it help? I don't know. There's two things that I'm not certain about anymore in baseball because of the way the game is played and because of the pitch timer and because of, you know, the pitch calm. One, and this has gone on for a couple of years, I don't know what a manager's job is anymore because of the input of analytics.
I'm not
criticizing, you know, analytics people. I'm just saying, I don't know. Like, ripping a manager, you can rip Oliver Marmol because he clearly doesn't understand how to handle major league pitchers or major league players. You can rip a guy for that. But I don't know now. I don't know what goes in. I still don't believe people will tell me that once the game starts, the manager makes all those decisions. I don't know.
I don't know. Who did you manager or Khaki?
There's so many people in the dugout now, I don't know who does what. And with the pitch calm and everything, I don't know how you blame a catcher now. I mean, the pitcher can call his own game if he wants. So, but all I'm saying is this, and you know I've talked about this with Alejandro Kirk. For whatever reason, when he's behind the plate, I expect sloppiness. I expect plays not made. I expect an issue with the pitch timer. Framing stats, I don't know. I'm sure he's great. I'm sure
he's great last year.
But I just don't like the way the game goes with Alejandro Kirk behind the plate. And honestly, he's become the rollover king. I'm not entirely certain that I don't think I'm getting enough out of Alejandro Kirk, which is, I know that's a complete,
okay, so we're completely starting there. Different you don't issue. Like Kirky, so we're getting there.
It's not that I don't like it.
Let's go back to the question.
But as for the Danny Jansen,
you're off the tracks here.
I don't.
Do you think it would help?
I mean, I don't know.
Let me tell you this.
Just hang on. Alek Manoah almost won a Cy Young Award with Kirk behind the plate.
There you go.
I don't think it
wouldn't help.
I don't think it. Different look, maybe, but no. I won't sit here and tell you that if Danny Jansen's behind the plate, all of a sudden the slider's great.
Let me ask you this. Would the velocity go up? Because the velocity's down with Manoah if Jansen was behind the plate. Would his spin rate go up? Because it's down.
No, it will not. Would the
slider break horizontally?
No.
Then you just answered your question. I just asked you three questions about Alek Manoah.
The only change.
You just gave me the answer to all three of them.
Yeah.
But again, I
will get back to. The only reason that I think it might make a difference is I think Danny Jansen runs a better game than Alejandro Kirk. That's all. But I don't. But
just by saying those three things, it would almost tell you workout wise with Alek Manoah, it would have something to do with two things: throwing program and conditioning.
Yep.
Velocity's down. It's a fact. I ain't making it up. I'm not coming on this show. We don't do that on this show. We don't make things up just to get people to listen.
Well, we do not.
So you can say that.
I mean, every now and then.
Spin rate's down. Never. I never do. Rate's down. The break on that slider is not going the way it should be going. That would tell you it all screams towards one thing. That would be something if you're the Blue Jays, you're the organization, you're Pete Walker, you're the Khakis. You try and figure out all the things that would happen to get the velocity to go up, the spin rate to go up, and the break horizontally to go horizontally. That would tell you something about the conditioning and the throwing program. Why that is going where that is went, I have no idea. That's what I see.
Did it interest you? I'm sorry. Did you find it? You know, Did you find it notable that on an off day in May, the pitching coach and Manoah were at the ballpark working on stuff?
You've covered baseball forever.
Never. When a
player's going well, does he ever come on an off day on the road?
Not usually. Not usually.
To work out?
Not usually.
Oh, never. If you're going well, you ain't sniffing the
field. So then we could be talking about
happening.
A pitching program, a change in that, or conditioning. The two could be combined.
Just by the three things that you mentioned, the velocity being down, the spin being down, and the horizontal break being there,
would
tell you something, right, about the conditioning and the throwing program. So there is something.
It's either that Kevin,
you need to refine, adjust.
Yeah.
You know, something needs to get a little better there.
It's either that to make
all those things go up.
The only other thing that would explain it is that he's hurt in some way, and he's not hurt in some way.
It doesn't look to me like it is. He looks healthy to me. He's got confidence.
We talked about that Yankee
conviction
start. The Yankee start, he was excellent. It was excellent. The mechanics look good. But last night, you know, what at bat was it that was? Danny and Arden actually had a chart during the game. Arden always has charts during the game, but he had a chart during the game that was really about the placement of the slider. I shouldn't say Arden. It just told the whole story about where his slider was. And basically, as Arden pointed out, if this keeps happening, third time through,
First time through, you can get away with the sinker, the four-seamer, the elevated four-seamer, the sinker away. He'll backdoor it to righties now is what he's trying to do. It's the at-bats sort of where he would throw a backdoor. I think it was Trey Turner. Second time through, he threw a backdoor sinker. Hee-haw, strike one.
Yeah.
He threw the really good changeup in. Think he got a swing on that. It was 0-2. That right there will tell you last year, I'm going to the slider. It's a three-pitch at bat. I'm going on to the next guy. Instead of that, it was a seven-pitch out.
Mm.
So he went from three pitches to throwing four more pitches because of the confidence in the slider and how you're trying to get a really good hitter out. That's the difference between six innings or seven innings and four and a third and throwing 20-plus pitches an inning, you know, four pitches a batter. I mean, how many pitches do you see that are in the 7-8 range per batter? It's a lot, right? And that's the sort of the at-bats, right? You saw another bat where it's sinker in. It's 0-2. That is a slider.
I'm getting frustrated hearing you
talk. And then you're seeing change up in to a righty now. Change up in. That's back-to-back change ups in. Did you ever see that last year?
No.
Didn't have to because the slider was there last year. It's not here this year. That's the difference, right? Those are the at-bats. Those are the counts. When you're seeing it, it's not him making a good pitch with the heater. Like, he's getting enough of the movement on the sinker. He's getting to the count where he needs to throw the slider. It's just when he knows he needs to throw the slider, the hitter knows it.
And it's not there.
It's just not there.
Yeah.
And I think that for me gets back to that.
You're almost hanging yourself out to dry.
Absolutely.
In that situation, you really are.
The pitches per at bat are going way up because of that reason, right? It's instead of three pitch at bats, now it's seven pitch at bats.
Okay.
And then you're getting 94, 95 pitches through four and a third. And you're going to other guys you don't want to go to.
Should mention, by the way, that today's game is a 4:05 first pitch.
Oh, I was wrong.
Kevin Gossman against Zach Wheeler. So it'll be a 4:05 first pitch. Barker and myself will be on Blue Jays Talk. And you can join us because it'll be on just before the Leafs game. And, you'd rather talk to us. Don't laugh.
Let's get the pitching out of the way.
Yeah, let's get the
what
pitching
did you not
out of
like
the way.
About the pitching?
I was surprised that Nate Pearson comes in with a man on third and one out, JT Realmuto at the plate. And to me, it looked like the infield's in. And I'm thinking, okay, this I understand what's going on here. I don't understand three sliders. Like, I don't want the ball hit in the air when the man on third base at that point in the game. JT Realmuto's up. Three sliders. Three sliders from a dude who... We were just talking about it. Can hit 98 or 99. Didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
The stolen base, small details. He didn't even look over.
Man, he's not paying attention.
And then, you know, walk to Brandon Marsh. I mean, at least he walked him throwing fastballs, you know. And I mean, that looked like it's the first time in his limited outings this year with the Blue Jays that it looked to me like the Nate Pearson of a couple of years ago that just
couldn't finish guys off. I don't think that's fair. The velocity consistently is there. You give him credit for that. He's earned the right to be back in the big leagues. You give him credit for that. The high leverage situations, he's not that for me. Like that, I that's pretty blunt to say this early in his year, this year, because basically his big league career has started this year because of what he's trying to do with the slider, what he's trying to do with the slow breaking ball. It's just when he throws those two, and for me, those two are not very good pitches. If I'm a big leaguer, he's doing me a favor by throwing me either one of those. That's the thing, right? It's the conviction in me against you. I'm a really hard thrower. There would be people to kill to be his size and throw that hard.
There are high leverage relievers who just rely on fastball curve. I keep bringing up John Wetland was a guy. John Wetland saved a ton of games.
Well, Jordan Hermano for the Blue Jays, he does it a lot, right? He's married to the slider, yep. But the slider's. I mean, when you're married to it, you're married to it. Here it is. I don't think he can hit it. At least he's married to the fact that...
You're not saying that Nate Pearson stopped throwing the slider,
no,
right?
No, I'm not. I don't... This is why it's very hard to get on board with Nate Pearson. Yeah. Like, it is now... Just like to go against good teams, when do you use him? You have to give him a clean inning. Well, like, you ain't got no choice.
Yeah, and that obviously...
I mean, it's obvious.
It didn't work. Yeah.
Runner on third, less than two outs. That's a tough situation for him to come into because... of how much he wants to throw a certain thing and sort of what the situation dictates him having to try and do.
Especially against a hitter who is more than comfortable just putting the ball in the air.
Well, JT's a pretty good hitter. Yeah. Notice he's got a pretty good idea what he's trying to do with the situation of the game.
Trevor Richards. Now, this is where...
I don't know why you got so excited about this.
Well,
I didn't, and you're right.
I didn't. Blue Jays talk, and you're right, it didn't. Three strikeouts, Trevor Richards comes in, Turner, Harper, Castellanos on, 12 pitches? I mean, look, the changes. We'll just say it, the change is a dominant pitch right now. I mean, I'd rather have him or Swanson facing a lefty.
Scoreboard would tell you everything. You got your highest leverage guys, Jimmy Garcia, Swanson, Romano. Those are your highest leverage guys. They're coming in, hopefully, tie game or with you winning. That's when you want them to come in. Trevor Richards is not that guy. He's been really good, but he's the guy that can give you multiple innings to keep you in a game.
Yeah.
He had 12 pitches, 3 up, 3 down, 3 Ks.
Then
he hasn't pitched in 5 days. That's the thing. Five days.
Then he came.
They're losing 5-4.
It makes sense. So, and I have no
5-6-7. The five-hole hitter's a pinch hitter.
Yeah.
I don't think he got in the hit all year. And then he has that little pitch timer violation thing. Maybe that changes the at bat. I don't know.
I don't think he knew what the count was for the whole at bat.
Whose fault's that? The pitcher or the umpires?
I'm gonna blame. If I'm behind the plate and I gotta know my pitcher well enough to know that this dude doesn't
Blaming Kirky. You can say it. Go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
There you go.
The pitcher first, obviously. You gotta at some point you can go.
Why is it 1-0? Tempo. Yeah. Tell me why is it 1-0? I didn't even know. I mean, his back was turned getting the ball from the infielder, I think, when the umpire came out in front of the plate and said it was a pitch timer violation.
So, I mean, it was not made clear. And I will say this, the umpire, who was it? It was Jeremy Rehak last night. It was not the cleanest game for him behind the plate either. Let's just put it that way. I mean, that whole thing with the Jays about the pitch timer violation. I think it was Harper at the plate where, the Jays are basically telling him that there's been a violation. Anyhow, it was not great. But you're right. You walked me off the cliff there. And then Brandon Marsh gets a double off Erik Swanson. That was a pretty good pitch.
I did too.
And Brandon
elevated a split finger and then threw a good split finger below the knees. Sometimes
dude
that's hitting 314.
He's going to hit.
Occasionally he's going to hit a good pitch.
Yeah.
Tip your hat to him. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that was sort of you had to bring in Swanson in that situation because of how your other guy was doing. And Pearson came in and looked the way he'd looked. So you sort of were forced into using that. I had no – Trevor Richards almost to the point where I apologized to him.
Okay.
And you should too.
Okay, I'm sorry. And it's a heartfelt apology, as you can tell. Okay, so the Kevin Kiermaier play that John Schneider referred to, I'm calling it the Kevin Kiermaier play, but Brandon Marsh has drawn a leadoff walk. That was a pitch timer, another pitch timer violation. Brandon Marsh has drawn a leadoff walk. Sosa's flied out to Chapman. Stott has flied out to center. So there's two out. The ball is hit to Kiermaier. Again, Brandon Marsh is running all the way because there's two out. The ball's hit to Kiermaier. His momentum is carrying him away from the bag. He kind of lobs the ball.
No, he didn't lob.
Or he threw the ball.
It was hard.
Kind of okay, but he was fading away through the ball.
One hopper to the second base.
Threw the ball to Espinal. Espinal looks and then comes home. They're not getting Marsh. Now,
that's the key part of that.
Okay.
That you just said.
Okay, let's back up. Let's start. Because you broke this down in about 2 seconds on Blue Jays Talk last night, right near the end of the show, and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
So let's walk me back to the point where the ball, where Kiermaier has got the ball. The ball's bounced. Kiermaier's got it. What's he got to do? What's his?
Well, depending on how many outs there is.
Okay, there's two outs.
We've seen Kevin do this before.
Okay.
Where he turns and tries to keep the runner from going to second base to keep the double play in order. There's two outs there. Rule of thumb for most center fielders. He is a platinum winner.
He's
pretty good. He understands who's running at first. He understands how many outs there were. He understands that probably that guy's running already in motion. He's a good base runner. He's fast. He cuts corners. He's scoring.
Yeah.
I don't care if they hit the cutoff guy or not. He's scoring. Kevin's probably thinking, I keep that guy from reaching second base. We give up one run instead of a chance of giving up two runs. I don't understand why everybody's throwing their hands in the air going, that was wrong.
No, I don't think they're, I don't think.
Well, John made it a point to come out and say it out loud like there was something wrong with the communication factor. Santiago Espinal, because the runner was in motion, was going to cover second. That means Bo has to go over and be the first cutoff guy.
And he looked to me like he was.
He might have been a tick late, but he was there. What Vladdy does is irrelevant. Vladdy's the second cutoff guy. If the ball goes to Vladdy, is overthrown the first cutoff guy, it's a merry-go-round.
Yeah.
He's only there to run after the baseball if that was to happen. Like, that's not a big deal when it's who's throwing it from center, who would be throwing it from second. Espinal has a good arm. Bo has a decent arm. Strong enough to get it from two steps in the grass behind second to home plate. You really don't even need a second cutoff guy. So that's what I don't understand.
Just think it was a baseball play.
I think Kevin understood because he's a really – he might be the best center fielder in baseball.
Yeah.
Name a better one.
I mean, I
– defensively.
Yeah. I mean, he's good. But, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say he's the best because I'm sure there are guys we haven't seen. But, anyhow, go ahead. Continue.
I mean, I don't think there is a continue. I think he understood who's running for. If that was Kirky running from first on the other team, absolutely, you set up the cutoff guy. You know he's not scoring.
So there's no big deal in this.
Not that I've seen. I mean, I think it's because of everything else that happened in the game. It's an easy thing to go, oh, look, they can't do that either, right?
Okay.
When it's a guy trying, understanding that a dude standing at first can run a little bit, there's two outs, he's in motion already, chances of him scoring are almost 100%, even if I do hit the cutoff guy. So at the very least, let's keep the guy from scoring and keep him off of second base. That, for me, is an educated play.
All right.
I didn't have any issues with it. Now, maybe everybody else does, but
all right.
I think there was other things you can point the finger at, and the one that you're about to say out loud right here, I know we're up against it, is the one that you didn't really like.
Well, I got George Springer's not playing because he has a virus. He's sick.
Yeah.
And
shouldn't have played in Pittsburgh, probably.
Probably. And you've got two on, and the inning is a bit messy. You just had a guy hit by a pitch. You had an error. I mean, the pitcher was charged with the error in that place. Sir Anthony Dominguez going over to the first base. It's a terrific name. I don't know. Error one. Maybe you give the first baseman an error. Whatever. But, I mean, the fact is, so you got two on. And one out. and you had a couple of runs in, and you got a, you're got a good inning cooking here, and Rob Thompson knows this, so he brings in Gregory Soto, who, as you pointed out, left-handers are 2 for 22. Left-hand hitters are 2 for 22.
Coming into the game.
Coming into the game with 10 punchies against him. So
they hadn't been real good.
Not, no, they don't have much of a chance. And
he throws a bazillion and he's
right.
Wild.
And Dalton Varsho is coming up for the Jays. So John Schneider elects to pinch hit with an ill George Springer. And that first swing
looked like he was ill.
I mean, it looked to me like...
He's ill.
Yeah, he looked like a sick...
He did.
He looked like a guy that was... Yeah, it was...
Not good.
Yeah.
John probably wished he could call timeout right there and pinch hit for Springer.
It looked like he just got off the gurney and still had the IV bag in him, and the IV bag got in the way of the swing. Oh, yeah. It was not a good swing.
No, it's awful.
And, of course, George Springer strikes out.
Absolutely.
And then, Matt Chapman comes up.
Score.
He's hit by a pitch, and then Danny Jansen comes up. The inning ends at 5-3. Now, fully healthy? Yeah, I got no problem with you. That's your champ. Blow the game open. If you'd given George a day off.
If he's fully healthy, probably he's playing.
Right, but I'm saying for whatever reason, if he's available. Yeah. And I know they said before the game that he was available, but there's available and there's available. You know, there's available as in we're in the 19th inning. And
he's available for Espinal. Maybe not for your three-hole hitter who's been going in the... water and pitcher.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If Dalton Varsho is going to and has faced lefties with velo this year, the results haven't always been great. But
hitting 260 against lefties, 259 against lefties,
and a couple of strikeouts. I get all this, but a healthy Dalton Varsho gives me, I think, a better shot there of doing something, because all I need is something. At that point, is a fly ball, right? Wouldn't a fly ball bring in a run? Maybe a fly ball wouldn't have brought in a run. I take that back. But I just didn't like the, I don't know. That was just an odd move. And I don't think, this is the type of game where I don't think there's any one move that quote unquote cost the Blue Jays a game. But
yeah, if Alec Manoah would have been better, they'd probably won the game.
Yeah, I don't know if having George Springer hit puts my team, maximizes my chance to win that game. I guess that's how I'd say it. And if it was Brandon Belt, maybe. But Varsho's an everyday dude. He's your number three hitter. He's finally corrected. I mean, all we spent the last week talking about is how he's made this adjustment. And I don't know. And I don't know the thought process behind that. I mean, obviously the numbers. I'm sure the numbers were the thought process.
I think that he was looking at the same numbers that I looked at as soon as I saw that he was pinch hitting.
Wow.
Varsho was that Soto against lefties were 2 for 22 with 10 strikeouts. But you're thinking to yourself, man, George, hadn't he been sick for like the last week? This guy throws really hard. He's 4 for his last 27 in May.
Yeah.
Oozing confidence when he walked to the plate. I'm not sure I was. So, yeah, it's just that entire game, just the optics of it didn't look great,
no,
right?
That's
sort of the whole, right? It was, if you're going to die with your best players. They didn't do that yesterday with a pinch hit with a sick player for a healthy player, and the healthy player is hitting third for you, and he's been having quality at-bats lately and been able to be competitive, especially now a little bit better against velocity and lefties.
And I keep getting back to this. I keep getting back to this. He's an everyday guy. He's not Brandon Belt. He's not in a platoon situation. He is a guy that at some point this year is going to need to come up with a big hit for you against power-throwing lefty, power-throwing righty, whatever the guy. At some point, Dalton Varsho, for this team to have success, is going to have to come through in that situation. I just didn't, you know, unless there's something we don't know. I don't know. It was an odd decision. Was an odd decision. The numbers make it a defensible decision. It was still an odd decision.
Not really. Not with the other player that you bring in is sick.
Yeah.
It's not really.
Shai Davidi is our MLB insider with Sportsnet. He is in Philadelphia with the Jays, and we'll talk to Shai about John Schneider's comments yesterday. We'll get his thoughts on a little bit of an update on Ricky Tiedemann as well. It was kind of wait and see thing with Ricky Tiedemann. We'll talk to Shai about that and get his thoughts on some other stuff as well. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and wherever you get your favorite podcast.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me ask you a question real quick before Shai comes on.
No, the answer is no.
Oh, it will be, yes.
Okay.
Should I be having the conversation, and you, and Major League Baseball, that Bo Bichette is a top five hitter in all of baseball?
Sure.
Top five hitter.
I mean, how many years does a dude have to lead the league in hits before people start saying that?
Tremendous question. Two and a third, because we're starting to have it right now on this show. I think it's hard not to have it.
I mean,
how do you get him out consistently? I don't know the answer to that. And there's a lot of smart people that are trying to figure that out. And when you can not allow them to do it as consistent as he does, and I'm going to tell you right now, he starts taking that breaking ball away and doing what he did to that thing last night.
Huh. Yeah, I'm...
The league's in trouble. It's crazy.
At some point, I think the comparison between Bo and Vladdy gets really interesting.
I think it's already there.
And I know that, you know, I'd be willing to bet that if you put 100 Blue Jays fans in this room, 90 would say that Vladdy's the guy.
I think if you put... 10 opposing managers in a room. And
10
say,
would say both.
Who would you rather not pitch to in the biggest part of the game?
I would rephrase it. Who is more likely to get himself out? I think we know what the answer would be. 10 of 10. It's just
10 of 10.
I think so. I think most guys. I think 10. Most managers would.
It's already there.
Right
10
now.
Of 10.
Huh?
Wow.
Let's bring Shai Davidi in from Sportsnet. Shai, we've got a whole bunch of negative stuff to talk about.
But we
were just kind of tossing this around about Bo. Everybody, you know, Bo is, people like Bo. They like watching him play. He's got the respect of everybody around the game, et cetera, et cetera. Do we need to start talking about him as, you know, more than simply a good young player, one of the best young players in the game? Do we need to start talking about Bo as one of the, Kevin said, top five hitters? I mean, do we need to have that discussion at least about where he ranks amongst the game's elite, elite, elite hitters right now?
It's really pushing into that. And it's kind of funny. I was not related to this, just actually looking over some of the data on him, just even just looking at his spray chart this year. And the type of damage that he's doing to center right, and the way that there really isn't a way to pitch him, because, you know, you go hard away or soft away, he's just going to shoot the ball to the right side. You try hard in, he can still inside out that ball to right field if he wants, or if you go soft into him, he's going to rip and send it over the wall and left. It's just, there's no real approach to him because he's got the insane plate coverage. He makes great adjustments in game. I think you saw it yesterday with Nola from first at bat and second at bat there. And consistently he's hitting the ball with authority as hard as he's hit the ball in his career, almost as hard as anybody in baseball right now. It's really intriguing. You know, certainly, the one thing that he doesn't do that some of the elite hitters do is take a lot of walks, but the way that he puts the ball in the play, I'm not sure that that's even a concern.
It's funny because a couple of years ago, if you remember when Vladdy was in the home run derby, and I'm just mentioning the home run derby just for sort of a point of reference, but Bo was asked, remember Dante told us, Bo was asked to go into the derby as well, and he's, nah, I'm not really not ready for it, and I mean, there's other guys, and I wonder if this, he's got 8 home runs, right? I wonder if this year, if he gets asked to go in the derby and if he doesn't do it. As an aside, because it is a way, look, if you want to kind of take that step forward in terms of quote-unquote star power, that's a way to do it. You got your contract signed, so you're settled there. If you want to kind of take that next step forward, that might be something worthwhile doing. I mean, it's a home run derby. It's meaningless other than the fact that it gets watched by more people than just about any other thing baseball runs out there.
Yeah, I think he's had some interest in maybe doing one at some point. I haven't talked to him about it recently, but it is the type of event that just gets you national attention, right? And
if that matters to him, right?
I think recognition and just being, comparing yourself amongst the peers, knowing how competitive he is, that kind of stuff does matter to him, to kind of see where he stands relative to others. But the home run derby, the one thing that this, you know, it, collectively in baseball, when you're talking about it, home runs are still the thing that gets you most recognized, mm-hmm. right? Like, if you're a complete hitter, you do a lot of great things, people notice it, but it doesn't maybe get the same attention unfairly that, you know, being a complete hitter does. And but if you hit home runs, it makes everybody's eyes pop, right? Everybody digs a long ball, and that's if you know, I think there's something to establishing yourself on a national stage by doing well in the derby.
Shai, do you think they're worried about Alejandro Kirk's swing?
I don't know about worried. I actually had this interesting conversation I had last night. It just sort of like how this is a bit of a gray zone in the season where the sample size is still kind of small, but you're starting to see some trends that maybe could start turning real, and that it's kind of hard to assess what, just like how much you should be concerned about things at this point. But it's certainly something that's drawn some notice, right? That Alejandro Kirk isn't quite himself and at the plate, and how much is that maybe tied to the late start to spring training and having to play some catch up and things like that. And he's had moments at the plate.
Yeah, the game against Seattle, right, on April 28th. Yeah. We thought he'd broken out a home run, 2 singles. Mm-hmm. Better
yeah, quicker.
And, yeah, and but it hasn't been there consistently. And why not? What's going on there? I don't know whether it's time to worry about it, but it's definitely a trend to watch, right? And like I said, we're still at that point where stuff can go either way, and it could just be small sample size, randomness and slow starts and getting your feet going into the season, or it could be a sign of something that needs to be fixed and it's a bit of a bigger picture issue. It's just still hard to tell right now. I think we're maybe 2 to 3 weeks away from when things really start solidifying and you're saying, okay, you know, this is real and we have to deal with it.
Alec Manoah's next start, I think, is scheduled for Sunday against the Braves. Any chance Danny Jansen would catch him?
I don't know that that's the issue, right? Like, is that going to fix the slider?
No.
I mean, that's really it. And I think what's happening a little bit is that you've got a guy who doesn't have his primary weapon, which was an elite pitch, right? That slider. And so is that making him try to be a little bit more fine with his 4 and 2 seamers? Is that making him rely maybe a bit more on a changeup that's a good pitch for him, but maybe not as good as the other ones? That, to me, is more what I see. You can argue pitch selection, sure, but if you don't have your best pitch, then it becomes really tough. And that's really where it's at. And the numbers are really jarring. You know, I think just what we were talking a minute ago about sort of what's real and what's not. I mean, this is his slider is being swung through 20% less than it was last year. It was 32% whiff rate last year. It's just a hair over 11% this year. And that's a huge drop off, right? He's not getting the same movement. He's not getting the same break. All those factors are playing into that. And so you take that out of the mix and suddenly it's just, you've got to be perfect with your two fastballs. I mean, that's a pretty tough situation to be in, and I think that more than anything is what we're seeing play out.
Yeah, velocity's down, spin rate's down too on some of his pitches. You're closer to the team than we are on an everyday basis. Any rumblings, any word that you're hearing workout-wise that they may adjust throwing program conditioning for Alek Manoah to have some of those things go up quicker?
Yeah, I mean, nothing specific. Really, the biggest thing they're just chasing is, you know, how do you get that slider by? And there were different things that he was working through earlier in the season where there were some mechanical adjustments that he was making, a little bit getting on his back leg, a little bit getting on his front side, opening up a little bit too much, and figuring all those pieces out. And now it's just, okay, how are you going to get that slider back? And is it just the velocity piece? I mean, it's down half a mile an hour this year compared to last year, and that's been trending upwards. So maybe that's on the road to getting back. Mm-hmm. But that, to me, is just what's the piece that's there? Is that simply his delivery isn't right, something within his release point, something else that's driving that? That, to me, seems to be a bit of a moving target in what they're trying to identify.
John Schneider last night, and in response to a question, seemed to us to be disappointed at the pitch timer violations. I get that at the end of the day, you know, it's not why they lost the game. I don't think, but it's a bad look, right? It's a bad look to have a violation because you were late with your warm-up pitch, or a violation that allows a guy to walk. And maybe, as you pointed out, you know, maybe Brandon Marsh walks anyhow. Maybe he doesn't, though. Maybe he swings through a pitch. I mean, you just can't tell. But I really got the impression that that did bother John, didn't it? Like, it's not a good look. It doesn't change the outcome of the game necessarily, but that just smells an awful lot like what we saw in Boston.
Yeah, and it's about not beating yourself. The other team beats you. I mean, that's going to happen. But you don't want to help them along in that process. And on a day when, you know, you're not 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position, or Alek Manoah is shoving the way that he can, that stuff gets overlooked, and it's not a big deal, right? But in a game in which you're grinding, every little bit matters. And, you know, you think about that fifth inning, the leadoff walk that you referenced to Brandon Marsh. I mean, maybe that is a strike three if he gets the pitch off the time. And it's a split second that he's late. You know, it's just really just a hair. But that's a point of frustration. And then Brandon Marsh ends up coming around to score on the single by Trey Turner. And Kevin Kiermaier makes a strong play to cut it off in the gap, gets a good relay in. And there's a miscommunication, and Espinal turns to third base thinking that Marsh is going to be at third, and he's already halfway home. But if he turns and fires home immediately, maybe they get the runner there. And so, you know, Schneider said that some of the players were yelling home, home in the infield, but that Espinal couldn't really hear it. And there was a bit of a miscommunication between him and Bo Bichette there. And, you know, those are the little things that maybe play different. And if that run doesn't come in, you know, the Blue Jays end up taking the lead at some point. Maybe you're bullpenning the rest of the game differently, and you're handling things in a different fashion. So maybe it leads to an outcome, and that's why a different outcome. And that's why John Schneider keeps talking about all those small details and how they add up. And you really saw an example of how all those little things added up yesterday.
What do you think their confidence level in Nate Pearson is?
I think they really believe in him. They like a lot of what he's done. I think they'd like to see him just be a bit, impose himself a bit more with his fastball. And it's such an authoritative pitch. And he comes out, and maybe it's game plan, but it's slider, slider, slider right out of the gate. And, you know, I think the Blue Jays, to some degree, would love to see him just come out. And, you know, the first pitch is 99, and you go from there. And, you know, velocity isn't always the answer. Velocity doesn't always equal an out. But he can maybe use that pitch with a little bit more authority. And my sense is that the Blue Jays wouldn't mind seeing him be a bit more aggressive that way. And part of it may still be, you know, he's learning the bullpen life and the bullpen routine and how to come in and and get going. And this may be part of the growth that he has to experience to get there.
Any update on Ricky Tiedemann?
So what we learned yesterday is that the MRI showed inflammation in the biceps, and that is, and it's nothing structural. So that was a bit of a relief for the Blue Jays that it's nothing more significant than that at this point. And he's going to go through a period of rest. He's week to week from this point forward. And they spent a lot of time sorting through those MRI results because a biceps injury is a little bit unusual for a pitcher. So they got multiple reads on the MRI results to make sure that they weren't overlooking anything. And at this point, they don't believe they have. It's just some inflammation that he has to get through.
My guess, though, I'm not being a doctor here, but my guess is any idea that he might be able to join this team later in the year at some point, we probably need to pump the brakes on that a little bit, don't we?
Well, certainly the timeline is altered a little bit. Look, I think that it ultimately depends on how fast that inflammation is gone. I mean, yeah. If this is a month and he's back pitching, then maybe not. And there were always going to be some workload concerns with him anyway. So
right.
I don't want to say blessing in disguise, but maybe this mitigates some of those concerns. And so I wouldn't necessarily rule it out because of the talent and where he is. But yeah, it certainly made it a bit more challenging.
Shai, really good of you to do this, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. No problem, guys. Talk to you soon.
See ya.
Shai Davidi, our MLB insider with Sportsnet. He is in Philadelphia. And game two of that series goes this afternoon, 4:05 on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. Kevin Gossman against Zach Wheeler. Ben Davis, Phillies TV analyst, will join us in a few minutes. We've got to talk about Zach Wheeler a little bit. I was watching Aaron Nola last night and looking at his numbers. I was kind of going, not entirely certain that the numbers. I mean, he looked to me like Aaron Nola. I guess he looked to me.
He's throwing a little harder, which helps. Even if it's a mile and a half harder,
yeah,
makes the breaking ball that much better.
Yep.
Makes the change up against the lefty that much better. You saw how much issue Varsho had early in his at bats against the changeup. Belt had the same issue. He took strike three, I think, mm-hmm. with the changeup. Varsho was out in front of the changeup. That's what the extra mile an hour on your fastball does. You got to cheat a little bit more, which doesn't allow you to let the changeup travel a little bit more to at least be able to foul it off to fight another pitch. So, hey, look, they're two really good pitchers. Wheeler is a really good pitcher. He's going to bring it tonight. And I don't want to really say this, but why do I get the feel that this might be, up until this point, early in the season, Kevin Gausman's biggest start of the year so far? It just, for me, got that feel where he needs to dominate. Like, go out and just say, I got my 95 to 99 in my split finger, and you can't hit either one of them. Why does it got that feel for me? I don't want to see 91s anymore.
I don't
want to see them. I want to see that Gausman to where it's 95, 99 the whole entire outing. And then that split finger, you can't hit it. I'm going to continue to throw it. Dominance. Why does he got that feel? Maybe it's unfair for me to say that, but boy, I feel that way.
Yeah, I
really do feel it.
I mean, they've already been, you know, I look back at coming out of that Boston series, they needed a win in the worst way,
that's the Pirates.
Yeah, but still, it's the Pirates. And just imagine what would have happened if you'd lost 2 or 3 to the Pirates. Imagine what would have happened if you'd lost that first game to the Pirates. I mean, I know what you're saying.
Feel. After the Manoa starts,
it's
the way
early.
They look,
early
guess.
For biggest starts.
I know
too
that,
early
but it
for
just
biggest
sort
starts.
Of feels that way. It really does,
okay.
For me anyway.
All right.
Well, I'm going to say
you're entitled to feel that way.
Yeah.
Ben Davis is a Phillies TV analyst. Hey, it's a catcher hour. We got Ben Davis. We got Caleb Joseph joining us. We got Blue Jays tickets as well. All that ahead. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Sportsnet 360. And if you're listening to us via podcast, obviously you've got us wherever you get your favorite podcast.
Breaking down the biggest stories in Toronto sports.
The Fan Morning Show with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It ain't getting that family of dandelions, I can tell you that.
I'll tell you what, nice look, look with the batting gloves, too.
Actually, that's not. You know who bought me those gloves? With the rake you bought me.
Oh, that's
so
right.
So nice try.
Yeah, okay, I did. I forgot about it.
You want to take that back?
Yeah, I did. I forgot.
Yeah, so you're sorry.
I don't play
anymore. I don't wear batting gloves.
That was a little housewarming gift from...
You're sorry. You tried to make fun of me right there.
And you were wondering, why would Blair get me a rake and gloves? I'll never use it. Well, did you use the rake too?
All the dandelions were laying everywhere in the yard.
Rake worked well.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. Yeah,
I went in and asked for
you saw how great it was?
I went in and asked for one of those electric rakes for you, but they didn't have one.
Boy.
So.
There's such a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, you're so cheap. You're a good friend. You would have got me one of those.
Yeah, they're great. The rake vibrates and it pulls it in. I've got an electric rake at home. Yeah, I keep it stored with my.
That is not true.
Yeah, it is. It's an electric rake. I keep it stored with my electric fork. Let's bring in Caleb Joseph. Will join us later on in the show. He did believe. He believed for 2 minutes that there was an electric rake.
You got me.
Caleb Joseph joins us in a few minutes. It's an all catchers hour. Let's get it going with Ben Davis, Phillies TV analyst. Ben, thanks so much for joining Barker and myself. How you doing? Do you have an electric rake at home, by the way?
I just sold mine.
on eBay. I love it. Very
That's
well done.
Rude.
Very well
you
done.
You are
That's
rude. Right.
Yeah, well, you know, they're hard. They are hard to find. They are hard to find. And they're getting harder.
I'll look on eBay.
I was told it was a supply chain issue.
That's right. Always is.
So, looking at Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler's numbers coming into this series, I would admit I don't watch every Philly start, and I was kind of looking at them and going, wow, that doesn't look like Nola or Wheeler. And then I saw Aaron Nola last night, and I'm thinking to myself, it looks pretty good. I don't know how that ERA got to where it was. His velocity certainly seemed It seemed up compared to what I've seen in the past.
Yeah, it was, and I hate to, I said on the pregame show yesterday, I hate to, you know, it's not all about velocity. He's had some ups and downs this year. He went through 8 innings against Houston. I know it's a very right-handed laden lineup in Houston, but he was throwing 90-91 that game, and he was dotting it. Everything was from the knees or down. And he was 8 innings. He was incredible. And then he got away from that. He goes to L.A., gives a 5-run lead, and he squanders that. Yesterday, he was 94-95 in the first couple innings, and the disparity between his fastball and his changeup, I mean, Dalton Varsho could not sniff his changeup last night. Mm-hmm. But when he's throwing 90 and his changeup is 87, it's just like basically a BP fastball. But when he's throwing 94-95 and he's throwing the 86-87 mile an hour changeup, it's a big disparity. It makes everything else so much better. And velocity is not everything. It's all about location. We know that. But when you have the ability to jump from 90 to 95, that's a big difference.
Ben, if you were catching and Bo Bichette was walking to the plate, how would you pitch him?
You know, I think the only place you can get him is up and in, and that's not even a sure bet because he's so quick to the baseball. He's a guy that trusts his hands so much. You know, we saw his first at bat last night. He hit a bullet to Alec Boehm at first base because he lets pitches get deep. He trusts his hands. He's not afraid to get jammed. And I think that's a big positive for him. He just lets pitches get deep. We saw the breaking ball that he hit for a home run at right center because he lets the ball travel. He trusts in his hand speed. And I think the only way to possibly get him would be up and in. But even again, that's not even a sure bet. The guy can flat out swing it. He's definitely, I know Chapman's above him average-wise, mm-hmm. but I'd take Bo Bichette any day of the week. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll tell you the other thing, too, is watching Bryce Harper last night, and, of course, the lead-up to Bryce Harper returning, everybody was talking
Amazing.
About how shocked they were that he was able to come back after, you know, after Tommy John surgery. But just watching him at the plate even, he might actually be able to do this. You know, he might actually be able to do this, right?
Yeah, if there's anybody that could, it's him. You know, he's a clean living guy. He, you know, I had Tommy John, and it took me, I was a good year before I came back. And, but I was catching and throwing every day. He's a guy that just, I call him Superman. I call him that on the pre and post game shows. I do it when I'm in the booth doing the broadcast. There's nothing this guy can't do. And he goes about his business. He loves the game of baseball, and he's a student of the game. He studies it. He just loves playing baseball. He loves being in that lineup every day. And I said to folks last year, we knew he was going through playoffs. We knew he was going to have Tommy John. And I said, we'll hopefully get him back by the All-Star break. I said, he'll be back way before that. And they said, how do you think that is even possible? I said, first of all, there's nothing that Superman can't do. Mm. Secondly, he's clean living. He doesn't put anything bad in his body. He works at it every day, and he wants to be that guy. And he's not a one-hand follow-through guy. He's a two-hand, so he's not putting any extra stress on that right arm. And he was able to come back. He got a few, you know, they had some minor league guys that were traveling with the team, so he would pitch to them. Those guys would pitch to him at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That was his live batting practice, so he didn't have to go on a rehab start. And he's, you know, going into last night's game, he was hitting .368. So there's nothing this guy can't do. And, you know, he even said he wants to play first base. He's been working out at first base, taking ground balls. So, you know, so they can get Alec Bowen back to third base. This guy is just, he's something else. And what a great signing by John Middleton and the ownership group.
You know, it's interesting hearing you talk about a position player coming back from Tommy John surgery. And obviously, as a catcher, the throwing, obviously, that's a part of your game. But, Ben, when you're at the plate, you know, how do you block it? Is it easy to block for a position player to block Tommy John surgery out of their mind when they're at the plate? Like, do you swing differently? Do you know, like Kevin made the, well, we were talking about wrist injuries, and now sometimes with wrist injuries, it's kind of that take that can be really, yeah, that can really be sore, right? Mm-hmm. We saw that with George Springer. Sometimes the take is almost as hard as a swing. Anything like that with a hitter coming back from TJ?
I think it definitely is a, you know, a bonus knowing that, hey, I don't have to throw right away. Like a pitcher has to throw or a catcher mm-hmm. has to throw. But thankfully the Phillies have the DH, or the National League has the DH now, and he can just go out there and hit and worry about his throwing program at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He doesn't have to worry about it at 7:05 at night. You know, so that's, I think that does help. I call Bryce's swing controlled violence. And he is a guy that he swings hard. You can't change the spots on a leopard. And that's the way he swings. It's the way he's going to swing his entire career. It's the way he swung since he was 19 years old in the big leagues. So, you know, I think he has that in the back of his mind. It has not hampered him at all. I mean, he's running the bases. He's sliding. He's giving high fives with his right arm. You know, it's just he feels like he's ready to go. And I can't believe he's back this soon, but I also can believe it because it's him.
Zach Wheeler's throwing for the Phillies today. When he's good, what's he doing?
He's sinking it. I love his sinker. I tell people all the time, like, if I have to ice my right index finger if I were catching him, because I'd be, you know, wiggling that thing all the time. Righties, lefties, he's got the ability to just run that thing, you know, north to south with a little bit of tilt on it, and he can get underneath the hands of the righties. I look for him to do that today against Bichette and Guerrero and Chapman. It's not going to be easy. I mean, your lineup is as good as it gets. And Aaron was pretty good last night. He was able to, you know, get out of, wiggle himself out of a little bit of room. But, you know, Zach Wheeler, if he's at 97, 98 in the first inning, it might be a long day for the Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. If he's not, you know, they might be able to you know, hunt and peck and get a pitch to their liking. But if he's got his velocity up today, you know, he's the ace of the staff. I know Aaron Nola got the ball on opening day. It was his sixth straight year he's got an opening day nod. But Zach Wheeler is the ace of the staff, and he's got the goods to go with it.
In conversation with Ben Davis on Blair and Barker. So when you look at the Phillies lineup, obviously you look at guys like Harper, Kyle Schwarber, Trey Turner, JT Realmuto, but yet Bryson Stott is the guy who has the most hits of anybody this season. I'm looking at his performance with two outs in particular this year. He leads he leads MLB in hits with two outs this season. I think he's got the fourth or fifth highest batting average with two outs this season. What is Bryson Stott going to be? What is he now, and is there still room for him to grow, Ben?
There's definitely room for improvement. You know, he's at the top of the lineup, and that's something that Rob Thompson, you know, put him at the top. He's a guy that sees a ton of pitches. He's a guy that fouls off a ton of pitches. He can be very aggravating for opposing pitcher. I think the average right now, it's, you know, I think it's in the 290s, maybe your high 280s. After last night, he was over four, did have an RBI. But he's a guy I think that can be anywhere from 275 to 300. He handles lefties well. He stays in there against lefties. There's room for improvement, I think, from an average standpoint and from a power standpoint. I think he's got to can add a little bit of weight. He's unbelievable defensively. He played shortstop last year. He can play third. Obviously, he's at second base every day this year with Trey Turner being at shortstop. But there's some room for improvement, I think, from a power standpoint. And, you know, he's a guy that if he gets two strikes on him, you'll see him. You'll see it today. If he gets two strikes, he'll widen his stance. He will not take a stride. He'll just kind of lift his heel up off the ground and put it right back down. But he's another guy, kind of like Bo Bichette, obviously not as talented as Bo, but he lets pitches get deep, and he'll take a single to left field. He'll take a double to left center. That's something he's gotten a lot better at, and he's also laid off the high fastball. That was really his Achilles heel last year.
How's Alec Baum gotten better?
He put on 25 pounds of weight this year, this offseason. He's got a couple home runs early on. I still look for him. He's a big dude. He's 6'5". You know, he put on some weight, but he's a pure hitter first and foremost. And I think the home runs will come as he matures even more so. But, we, you know, let's not forget, he was the number three overall pick in the draft a few years ago. So he's a guy that, you know, the Phillies were banking on to be that guy. He's gotten tremendously better defensively. You know, he had a big slip up last year where he said, "I hate this bleeping place," after he had three errors in one inning. The cameras caught him doing that. He said, "You know, Philadelphia's a city where you got to be accountable." He said, "Yeah, I said it. I said it, yes. Did I mean it? No." And the next night, he goes and he was off the next night, pinch hits in like the seventh or eighth inning. They gave him a standing ovation. And that's something that the city just loves. They love accountability. He's gotten to be a lot better. He feels more comfortable in his own skin here. And I think, honestly, and this is not just being a homer, I think he's a guy that could win a batting title one day, because first and foremost, he's a pure hitter. And, you know, he hits righties and lefties, and he stays on pitches and uses the whole field. So from that aspect, you know, I could see him possibly winning a batting title one day.
Last question before he let you run. Was there any update given on Kyle Schwarber after the game? We saw him foul that. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that was they took some pictures of it. They were negative, so that's a good thing. I don't know if he'll be in there today. I haven't seen the lineup. I'm on my way into work right now. They said that the pictures were negative, so that's a good thing. You know, maybe Rob Thompson wants to keep him off his feet today because they have another day off tomorrow. They got 3 days off in 1 week.
That never
happened when we played.
Spoiled.
We would be lucky to get two a month.
Absolutely.
They got three off in 1 week.
Yeah.
So maybe they keep him off his feet today, let him, again, have tomorrow off as well, then fly to Colorado and see what happens, see how it feels then. But that's a good thing. He's, you know, the x-rays were negative.
Ben, thanks so much for
great
doing
stuff.
This, man. Good stuff, buddy.
Thanks
be well.
A lot.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime. Thanks
take
for having
see
me.
See ya.
Ben Davis of NBC Sports in Philadelphia.
I used to hit with Ben Davis in the offseason. Imagine that. In Arizona. It's me, Jeff Jenkins, him.
Right, because you're...
And somebody else that I couldn't remember. I can't remember. Yeah. It's a long time ago, but I can remember Ben Davis. I just remember he used to shake your hand, and he would dwarf you.
Massive.
He's a giant human. He's just a monster human. I always just make fun of him because I say, you basically like throwing at a barn door. Like, when you squat down there, a pitcher's got to be like, jeez, look how big the target is. And he would throw baseballs at me. It's kind of funny.
He's a really good dude.
I think
dude.
He was the first pick.
I want to say he was. But
because how big he was and the way he could catch, and you know, he was turned himself into a decent hitter. Not a great hitter, a decent hitter. Good enough to be in the big leagues a little while. It's just interesting, the Phillies. You look at the Phillies play. Are they a better team this year than they were last year?
I want to say, now the record doesn't show it so far.
17-19, I think they were, or they are now.
But I want to say they are. I don't know how you can possibly have Trey Turner in your lineup and not be massively better.
Yeah, Baum's going to be better. Marsh looks like he's going to fit in real nicely playing center field.
Stott was a guy last year, he kind of had an up and down postseason, but it was pretty clear that Rob Thompson really, that they really liked what
Philadelphia's not an easy place to play, Jeff.
No.
It really not.
But Bowman, that's intriguing.
Batting title's big.
Batting title's a big.
It's big words.
It is big words.
It is.
But you know what, guy? Credit to him, man. He, you know, shifted positions and
well, he has to.
I mean, he has to, but still. He shifted positions, and speaking of hits with two outs this season, and he's right behind Stott.
Yeah, he's got 25 steaks, too, leads the team, RBIs. So that's a big thing, right? Runners in scoring position. You got a guy with 25 RBIs hitting in the 7-hole. We talk about balance all the time with the Blue Jays. Who's going to give it to you at the end to flip it over for the big boys up front? You got a guy down there who's driving in runs. Marsh's got 14 RBIs. So it's
The answer to your question is, I think Philadelphia is the one team in the National League where I would look at them and say, all they have to do is get into the playoffs and they can go on a run.
Sure. I'm with you. Health is a big thing.
Yeah, however
Schwarber
you do it.
Hitting home runs, going to the playoffs will be a huge thing.
But that bullpen is
Trey Turner can hit the other guy's best pitch. Like, it's – they got some guys who can match up against the horses, right? You want to – me against you. Can I have that at bat against your best guy? Right, if you match them up against Gosman's split finger,
I mean,
they hit it. That's the thing I think you're talking about.
Yeah, and Sosa's kind of the only guy in the lineup you look at and – you know,
he's hitting 308.
But I do think, yeah, I know he's hitting. But that's what I'm saying. You still look at him, and you know, he's not a guy you would think would hit over 300. But yeah, I do think they're a better team. I think there is something. We talked to Rob Thompson about this. I really do think there is something to that. It's not a World Series hangover if you don't win, but there is something about playing those extra games and the shortened season, and you know that if you're eliminated from the world, I mean, even if you don't win the World Series, you do a kind of a bit of a personal victory lap. You go away to France for a couple of weeks.
That's an excuse if you get off to a bad start.
I don't think that's
an easy way to point the finger at. Well, they played extra games. I played winter ball every year.
Yeah,
up until spring training almost didn't bother me any.
Yeah, but I don't.
But it's an
Kevin,
excuse.
But Kevin, guys don't do that anymore. Guys don't do that. Guys don't go down and play winter ball.
I mean, your body just gets used to doing baseball things longer.
Anyhow.
That's it. Professional.
But getting back to the Phillies, if I'm the Phillies, all I want to do is get in. And I get in, I'll take my...
Great point.
I get into a series, I'll take my rotation, especially now with the Braves really not knowing what Max Fried's going to be about. They are a great team. They are a great team.
We're going to find out where the Blue Jays are the next couple of days.
If Max Fried is out for a while, you know, they're...
That's not going to help.
Yeah. Of course, Alex being Alex, will probably go out and trade for Shohei Ohtani at some point.
Oh, can you imagine? That'd be great. Well, maybe.
Anyhow, we've been giving you the chance to win Blue Jays. We'll ask him when he comes on. He's coming on, I think, tomorrow. Or Friday.
Tomorrow.
We'll ask him, Alex. Have you had any talks with the Angels?
You think he'd tell us?
Perry Manassian's his buddy. Perry Manassian is his buddy.
Yeah, if anybody could talk him into giving him up.
You know, Alex, he gets you on the phone.
You could hang up.
No,
I'm not going to be the guy to give him up.
You can't hang up.
Oh, you could.
Know,
you could.
2 days later, when you pick up the phone to call home, and Alex Anthopoulos is still on the line. Anyhow, we've been giving you the chance to win Blue Jays tickets all season long here in Blair and Barker, whether you listen on the radio or on our podcast. All you have to do is text the correct answer to our daily baseball trivia question to 59590, and boom, presto, you're going to see a Blue Jays game. Yesterday's question and answer was, name the lefty who joined the Astros in the mid-2000s for three seasons in between stints as a New York Yankee. And then we talked about his news conference. Andy Pettit was the answer to that question. Andy Pettit said, I took HGH because I wanted to get back. I wanted to get back and pitch sooner.
Just own it. You did it. Were you crying when
honest.
You took it?
At least he was honest. I give a guy credit for
it. Did it make you feel better about yourself when he cried?
I give the guy
credit. It wasn't me.
Kevin.
Own it.
You can get HGH going. You can walk in off the street and get HGH. I give the guy credit for doing it. I never hold it.
I never did.
I'll never hold that against Andy Pettit. dude, you want to come back sooner to help your team win? I'm all for it. Anyhow, today's question is to win tickets to see, but you were never hurt. Today's question is to win tickets. You told me you were never hurt.
I missed a game, but I was hurt all the time. It's called duct tape.
You didn't need HG.
It's called duct tape, buddy.
Today's question to win tickets to we got ice. Today's question to win tickets to see the Jays and Astros down at the Rogers Center on June 7th.
You got to buy your own ice, the minor league.
Let me repeat that. Today's question is to win tickets to see the Jays and Astros down at the Rogers Center on June 7th. I'm not being rude. The Toronto Blue Jays hired former Astros GM James Click as vice president baseball strategy after he won the World Series in 2022. Who was the GM in Houston before Click, and who took over as GM there after Click's departure? See, this isn't really trivia. This is like, have you read the sports news lately? Mark Boffle, our producer, said, then they should get it right. The Toronto, I got no answer to that, Boffle. You're absolutely correct.
They don't like you either.
The Toronto, of course they don't. The Toronto Blue Jays hired former Astros GM James Click as vice president baseball strategy after he won the World Series in 2022. Who was the GM in Houston before Click, and who took over as GM after Click's departure? Text the answer to 590-590 for your shot to win. See rules at sportsnet.ca/590. Caleb Joseph joins us. We're going to do the back leg line as well today.
Keep them nice.
We got it.
Keep them nice.
Yeah, we'll do the back leg line as well.
Keep those nice.
416-413-3959.
You people know what I'm talking about.
What?
The phone calls that Mark's taking.
Yeah.
Keep them nice.
Yeah. Don't ask for anybody to be fired yet.
Yeah, that's not all they're saying.
416-413-3959. I mean,
be nice.
I know my people. So you got to see Bryce Harper yesterday, and our friend Mark DeRosa was doing a breakdown of Harper's swing on TV when we came.
That's Castellanos.
I was,
Well, you paying attention or not?
I was paying attention.
That guy's right-handed.
It was close. It looked like
Harper.
Well, no, they had the Harper thing too.
They did not.
They had the Harper thing too.
That was a side by side of 2022 and 23. What would you do without me on this show? Seriously,
I need new glasses. Then I got my backwards glasses on. I must have put the other glasses where the electric rake.
There's a good question in there. Start over.
Yeah, I must have put the glasses with my electric rake.
Because I was going to go look for that.
Of course you do. Of course you're going to look for
a birthday coming up soon.
And I don't know. Maybe there is such a thing as an electric rake. It's just called different. And I have no idea why I even said that. No, I was going to say you got to see Bryce Harper yesterday. See him in a game.
Uh-huh.
All the stuff you talked about with him and the one thing Ben mentioned too, and I want you to kind of expand on it a bit, and actually because somebody DM'd us after the show yesterday, and I apologize, I should have responded, but they were talking about, you mentioned a one-handed finish.
Yep.
So, and this person wanted to know, okay, a one-handed finish, why would that hurt? Why would that hurt less?
It would hurt more. No. You're talking about two different injuries.
Okay, the idea
we were talking about Vladdy, and all of a sudden Vladdy shows up yesterday, and he had about 15 one-handed finishes.
All right.
Which is very rare for him. He's a two-handed finish guy because it's sinker in, slider away. The slider away,
so Harper,
he has a one-handed finish.
What would
the two-handed finish thing is where he stands, what he's trying to do with the baseball. He's trying to let it travel a little bit more,
and it
doesn't add as much length to your swing when you hold two hands on the barrel. With one hand, you're trying to be short to it and long through it.
And
you want that big finish. That's why a lot of guys finish one hand. I used to do that.
Okay.
It doesn't work so much on the ball in. You tend to get jammed. That's why it costs me 10 years in the big leagues.
In Bryce Harper's case, then. In Bryce Harper's case, then, how does he accommodate?
He doesn't.
That injury.
He doesn't. I don't think you see any swing yesterday where he was favoring it. He was doing something different. No. He was mad because he didn't hit pitches he was supposed to hit. He's not favoring it. He was taking big swings. He had the two-handed finish. He was doing sort of the same thing with his lower half. That's what Ben was saying. He's a freak. Like, he does things offensively that you're not supposed to do, and the injury, you could tell, was not a big deal. I think he even slid into first base. Was it first base he slid into? Some base he slid into, and it's like, no big deal. Somebody ran into him. He's like, yeah, dude, I'm made of a brick, nothing hurts me. That's the difference between him and a lot of other people is you don't have to change things. He's changing things with his lower half because he hasn't had a ton of at-bats. The ball's moving around on him. Has nothing to do with Tommy John. That's why everybody's saying that it watches him on an everyday basis. It's unbelievable. Like, that you can do the things he does and not have at-bats.
Would you risk him playing first base?
Absolutely not.
I mean, at this point, you have to ask
Alec
yourself.
Alec looks like he knows what he's doing.
Just tell
the pitcher to pay attention. That's a pitcher error, too. Pay attention to what you're doing. Like, understand what's going on, pitcher.
He was just looking at the bag.
He gets hit in the face with the ball on a flip. Yeah. Not on a throw, a flip. Pay attention to the ball. You should not always have to run over, like Little League, run over to the bag, make sure you look at it, make sure you look at it, step on it, and then turn around and look. You shouldn't have to do that. It's not Little League. It's just the first baseman talking. I'd be yelling and screaming at that pitcher like crazy. But
should have been an error in the first baseman.
I think it was.
No, didn't they call it E1? They called it E1.
Even better. They should. It should be an error. It hit him in the face, almost a ricocheted off his shoulder and on the face. You got to pay attention to the ball. You look at the base somewhere about to the cutoff, to the cutout, where the grass and the dirt starts, and then you should be able to feel for it. I mean, the base can't get any bigger. You shouldn't have to look at it till you run over to it. Look. Stand on it and then turn around. You shouldn't have to do that. It's baseball 101.
But the base did get bigger this year.
That's what I said. It's bigger is what I said. You shouldn't have to do that because it's bigger.
Oh, I thought you said the base. Okay.
You don't pay attention to me.
I am paying attention. 4:05 today is the first pitch. Kevin Gausman against Zach Wheeler. Caleb Joseph will be doing Blue Jay Central.
He is? Yeah.
And Caleb... What are you laughing
at? You.
Caleb Joseph will be joining us in a few minutes. We'll see if he could fix Alek Manoah.
Well, he'd be the only one. There's a lot of people trying, I can tell you that.
Caleb Joseph's next back leg line as well. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and wherever you get your favorite podcast.
Everything you need to know about all things Raptors. The Raptor Show with Will Liu. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. You're sure it was Nick Castellanos on the TV screen?
Absolutely. Which side of the plate does Bryce Harper hit from?
Yeah, you're right.
Which side?
Left.
You didn't even know I was left-handed until, like, last year.
No, I didn't.
You did?
I missed. No. Well, I missed your at-bat.
I covered you. Remember that time I said hi to you? No, you never said hi to me.
I missed
when I was with the Jays.
I missed your at-bat.
Save it.
I missed your at-bat. I must have
How many at-bats you get? How many? I can't hear you. How many? Oh, that many. Oh. How many homers you got in the big leagues? Not six.
Ha-ha. Do we have Caleb Joseph?
Oh, yes.
Caleb, come in and save me here.
35 homers in the big league.
How many?
That's how many I got.
You got 25?
35, bud.
Holy moly.
By the way, thanks.
That's a lot.
Thanks for squeezing us in between the 17th and 18th hole today. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for making time. We appreciate you.
I'm a bad friend. Just put it through that way. I'm a bad friend.
Listen,
I didn't want to say it. No. You agree with him.
No, I'm not going to let him go down that road. Man's got a newborn child. He is enjoying some time.
Hey.
Off anyhow.
Huh.
So how do you fix Alek Manoah, Caleb?
Well,
100 words or less. That's one. That's two. I'm beginning to get the point.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we covered it on Blue Jays Central, and metrically speaking, there isn't a huge difference between the spin, the axis, the release point, all of the stuff that the Khakis should be able to point to. There's nothing that sticks out that's immediate where you could say, well, if you just raise your arm 2.5 inches, you'll be okay. Mm-hmm. That's everything is so similar, which leads me to what I see is I see a lack of finish on the pitch. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you calculate that. I don't know how you really can feel that other than being in the box. And I'm sure you know, Barker, there's just guys that just have that late finish on their pitch. And when the numbers are the same, yet you don't see that ball taken off and you don't see major leaguers whiffing on it, it just tells you that that last little 2%, that last little 5% just isn't there. And there was a stat that Chris Black put out, producer at Sportsnet, that I thought was absolutely eye-popping. 63 sliders has been thrown since Alec Manoah's last whiff.
Wow.
Okay.
That's pretty unbelievable, considering this is his A number one pitch.
That's his out pitch.
Absolutely. There has been some people that have said, and one of them's in this room, that said the easiest thing to do would be to put the other catcher
behind the plate.
My question to you is, if you did that, right? We've said that, right? The velocity's down a little bit, the spin rate's down a little bit. It's down enough to make him think about how hard he needs to throw the slider. Like, it's down enough to where he's figuring out ways to overcompensate for other things to get big league hitters out, right? It's the three-pitch at-bat instead of the seven-pitch at-bat. The seven-pitch at-bat allows you to go 4 1/3 instead of 6 innings.
Right.
That's sort of where he's at. Let me ask you a question. Just by putting a different catcher behind the plate, is there a different way he could throw his pitches that would set up the slider a little bit better to where it's more efficient to get him to swing at it a little bit more?
There could be something to it, and there also could be absolutely nothing to it. I caught Chris Tillman 10 or 15 times in Baltimore, and I knew the guy in and out, watched him pitch for years, had a 5.5 ERA with him. For some reason, we just did not work well together. You go on the flip side, I had very good catcher's ERA with Kevin Gausman for some reason. Now, Kirk has had a ton of success with Manoah. That's kind of the interesting thing about this, but at some point you have to try something totally different. And maybe Jansen's wider target gives him a different starting point, somewhere to look differently and to get that slider in the correct position, location-wise, where it needs to be. I will say Danny is a little bit more proactive when it comes to certain pitches in certain counts that need to be off the plate or in the dirt. You'll see him kind of tap the dirt. Like, it's just kind of a subtle reminder to that pitcher that, hey, this pitch has to be in this location. Get focused here. I think there's things that you can do as a catcher to kind of enhance that and help that, but you're not throwing the pitch. And Kirk could be set up 5 feet outside if he wants it outside. And Manoah can very well still back that slider up. I thought Joe Siddle had one of the best calls yesterday after the Castellano at-bat. I thought he said that at-bat right there pretty much sums up Manoah's 2023. He threw a non-competitive 0-0 slider. He backed it up with a great 93-mile-an-hour backdoor two-seam, hit the corner for strike one. Then he went inside with the two-seam, jammed him a little bit. He didn't try and rush the outcome. He then went more of a four-seam up in his by the brim of his cap, really dusted him off the plate, knocked him back, and everything was perfect about that whole sequence. He had set him up for a slider on the outer half. It just had to get to the corner, and he was done. He leaves it middle down, and Castellanos, one-legged, gets the barrel on it and hooks it down the line. But that pretty much summed it up for me, too, was he's made quite a few quality pitches, yet he just can't get that slider where it needs to be to put the batter away.
Tell me who I'm supposed to blame with Kirky. Kirk, you just mentioned the wider base, and while you were talking, I was thinking to myself, I see Kirky go to the one knee a lot, maybe all the time when he throws the slider. Why wouldn't he just do it with not going to the knee? And who do I blame for him not doing that? Sometimes you got to do things you normally don't do to make it a bigger target for him to start it to, right? If he's not starting it or you don't give him a target to throw to, going to the one knee thing, why wouldn't you just do it spread right out a little bit more so he could start the slider, say, at his left knee to where it would stay in the strike zone longer? Who am I supposed to blame for
right
that?
Yeah, that's what I would be doing. That is the one thing that I would be doing with Manoah is you would see me. I would be trying so many different stances. I would be in the left-handed batter's box. That slider to Castellanos, I would have been in the left-handed batter's box. I would have been selling, I want this pitch down, 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 pointing, emphatically pointing, glove all the way down at the bottom of the zone if I know that I need that pitch to get down. If it needs to be on the outer half, I'm getting 8 inches outside until you prove to me that you can throw it where I'm set up, just trying to give different visuals. The one thing that I do see, and I'm not blaming Kirk. This is not Kirk's fault. Manoah is the one throwing the ball. I do see that it's more of the same, just like you said, Barker, where it's the one stance and the glove is like in the same position and we're kind of asking him to do something different with the same setup. And a lot of times these guys are visual. They pick a spot on the catcher. They pick a spot, you know, whether it's the left shoulder or the right knee or whatever, to starting points, knowing that it won't finish there. Well, your one job as a catcher is you can – start trying to manipulate those starting points. And I wish I would see a little bit more exaggeration with that. And, you know, that wider base getting up on 2 feet might do that for Manoah. I would like to see that, which is part of the reason I'd like to see Danny Jansen, because I think he's a little bit more active in terms of moving around, more animated behind the plate, helping him get pitches to certain locations. But again, it's Manoah throwing the pitch, and I think some of it might be in between the ears as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I will say this, you know, for Alejandro Kirk, if he doesn't start hitting, he might make that decision easier.
Yeah, but Danny can't catch everybody. That's
no,
the thing,
no,
right?
No, he can't. He can't. That's what I said. I mean, you can't have him catch everybody. But that's the other part of this that concerns me as well is. That game against Seattle, we talked about it with Shy. I think Alejandro Kirk had a home run. He had a double or a single.
Hitting the ball hard.
He was hitting the ball hard. Yeah, yeah. The bat looked quick. We talked about how it just looked right. Like it was the way it looked last year when he was going good. And now it's like rollover after rollover after rollover. 6-3, 5-3, 6-3. I mean, it's just an endless procession of ground balls to the right side. What are you seeing from him at the plate? The left side,
yeah, direction.
Yeah.
Direction. When he's on, he hits a lot of balls right over the second baseman's head, right into that right center gap. He'll take pitches outside and just be able to lean on it that way. And I will say Citizens Bank Park, it's a little short porch and left. And when you hit batting practice there, even guys like me that had no pop, you start putting balls in the seats and you go, all right, I think I can pop one tonight. And so you kind of get that pull happy swing and thought process going. But direction, it's when he starts off the game going towards the big part of the field, right center field, it lines him up to be able to pull the ball, especially off that breaking ball. I mean, he's got to let that ball travel. And when he was going really, really good last year, those breaking balls were going to right center field and to center field, and occasionally he'd get it a little bit out in front, hit it to left field. But I think it's a guy that's just started off slow and trying to make it up really quickly. And this league is hard. It's relentless. It will knock you in your mouth more times than you can even imagine, and it doesn't give up. And nobody feels sorry for Alec Manoah, and nobody feels sorry for Kirk that they're not performing to their abilities. And so it's there are times when you got to pull your big boy pants on and just get back to your process and sometimes just got to wear it. And sometimes it's about lasting through these tough and rough parts. You start to learn a lot about yourself. Trust me, I went an entire season without an RBI. You have got to figure it out how to mentally stay in the game and try and provide something defensively or some sort of attribute that makes you valuable while you're scuffling. But for Kirk, I think it's direction. And when he can stay in the big part of the field, he usually is on time to hit those breaking balls.
If you're the manager of the Blue Jays last night and you're seeing the big lefty come in for the Phillies throwing 100 miles an hour and not lefties and haven't had a lot of success off him, you pitch Hinton Springer for Varsho?
No, I'm not. And here's why. Because Varsho is a really good eye at the plate. He's on a six-game heater. He's showing me something. It's not as much about Varsho hitting the left-hander as it is I don't think that Soto can throw three strikes before throwing three balls. And I trust that Varsho isn't going to throw. Varsho is not going to swing at balls. I feel like, especially left-handed-wise, he gets patient. A lot of lefties, Barker, you might disagree with me, but when I was behind the plate, it seemed like a lot of lefties wanted to jump ship quick, get the first pitch, get it out of the way, try and hit a first pitch heater. They don't want to get to that slider. Mm-hmm. Varsho doesn't seem like that guy to me. You saw what happened in the Chapman at bat. I mean, that 3-2 pitch, it wasn't even close. It wasn't even in the area code of where he wanted to throw it. And I just thought left on left, you're asking a lot for a left-handed guy to come in and really throw three strikes before four balls to a really patient hitter. And look, Springer's not in the game, A, because he's sick. But let's be honest, Springer has not been good this year. He's hitting like 200, and it's been a struggle. And that's the worst thing you want as a player, is you're sitting on the bench for six innings, you're cold, you're not feeling good, you're probably trying to just get healthy. Apparently he's been sick for an entire week, and then you got to come off and not only face 98 from the left side, but an erratic 98. That is a really, really hard at bat. Those are the toughest guys to hit. Those effectively wild guys, man, those are tough ABs, because he can throw one behind you and then he can dot one down and away. The fact that Varsho was in the game and in the flow of the game, that's the one time analytically it probably made sense to go with Springer, but I would have probably stayed with Varsho.
Caleb, really good to join us, buddy. My friend.
Okay, I hope we're still friends. Thanks. Yeah,
back to the tee. Back to the tee. Slow play. Back to the tee. Thanks, man. Caleb Joseph joining us, and Blair and Parker. Oh. And Blue Jay Central will be on a 3:30 today because it is a 4:05 first pitch.
I just remember the Rios thing when Danny Jansen came in, and the obvious optics was wider base, giving you a bigger target to throw to. Target means, if you can remember with Barrios, start the two-seamer, or if you want to call it a sinker, at Danny Jansen's right knee. So that way, if I miss, I miss.
You're missing outside.
I miss.
Yeah, you're not
going to. His misses were awful. That's why you wanted the wider base. You wanted the bigger target. Why hasn't Kirky done that? Why do you go to one knee and you get skinny?
It's possible that he can't.
Why are you doing that?
It's possible that,
I find that hard to believe, that he can't.
Maybe he's not comfortable doing it. Maybe he's not comfortable doing it.
Well, then you put Danny Jansen in the game. That's intriguing. It's an intriguing conversation.
Yeah, it's not, you know what? It's not to blame Alejandro Kirk.
It's not.
But it's, at this point, you're saying,
you need Alec Manoah.
At this point, you're saying, okay, what can we do to try to change this? And maybe that's where you go. But you're right. You can't. Danny Jansen can't catch every day.
No.
416-413-3959. That is the number of the Back Leg Line. We call it the Back Leg Line. It's your chance to talk to the mayor of Back Leg City. That would be Kevin Barker.
Hello.
I have no, I hold down no
Never
position in Back
before.
Leg City. Never done that before.
Nope.
Never done that
hurts
before.
Hurts that Caleb's got more homers than me. Yeah. Boy, that hurts.
By a lot.
Man.
Like, he's got four times it, five times, six times that you have.
Thank you, Jeff.
Anyhow, Roy in Los Angeles.
Oh, we're nice.
L.A., the city of angels. Roy had a question.
I have a question about the Vladdy and Bo comparison. I was wondering if it would be possible to look at it from a different perspective, like an injury perspective. What happens if either one of them had come back from a big injury? Whose swing do you think would be easier to come back and replicate, or whose swing do you think would have more of a hindrance about finding its way back after a big injury? Does that affect long-term contracts? And also, I just wanted to make a comment and get your thoughts on the way Schneider handles the bullpen. It feels like he's managing them to keep them fresh instead of win the game in front of them. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? Thanks, and love the show.
Two good questions.
Okay. The first one, A lot of that would depend on what Bo hurt, what Vladdy hurt. If Vladdy hurt his wrist, could he come back and swing that hard? Swing that hard, obviously, because he's hurt his wrist. He could do his swing. If Bo hurt his wrist, could Bo do the lead with the back elbow, let the ball travel?
Depends.
Keep
what
the barrel
wrist
in
too,
the hitting
right?
zone. Yeah, I'm not sure. That's a guy. I think he's a two-handed finish guy, but he makes a lot of contact in the middle of his body and deep in his body, close to his back leg. Boy, that is a good question.
It's a really good question.
A lot of that would depend on, like if Bo had to overcompensate for something that he hurt to get the barrel to the baseball, could he do it? Like if he hurt his, I don't know, throwing it out, ankle, his left ankle.
Vladdy, let me ask you this. Vladdy's a bigger dude, and I'm talking height. I'm talking everything.
Sure.
Vladdy's a bigger dude. Does that make it easier for Vladdy?
I would think it'd make it harder. Well, again, it gets back to what he hurt.
He's hurt his question, though.
It is. He hurt his wrist. He's taking the big hat.
Let me ask you this. I think maybe.
And the one-handed finish was there.
Whose swing is easier to maintain? Because they're both kind of. Is that even a fair question? Because they're both.
Easier to maintain. Man. I mean, look. Can I go in the backyard and do Bo's swing? Absolutely not. Could I go in the backyard and do Vladdy's swing? Absolutely.
Okay.
So I would think it would be Bo's swing would be harder to maintain. There's nobody. Who can do Bo's swing?
By the way, can I just add something
that
about...
That is awesome.
Can I just
That's
add,
a great question.
It is a really good question. We'll get to the second part, too, but can I just add one question? Anybody notice how Bo's defense has disappeared as an issue because of the hitting?
What have I been telling you
I know
forever?
You have.
What
I know.
What have I been telling you about every big leaguer in baseball? What are they first?
They're
hitter first. Yeah. They're not a defensive player first. Kevin Kiermaier's not. Kevin Kiermaier wants to hit more. That's why he's not trying to hit homers anymore, which will make him a better defender because he's doing things to contribute offensively. Absolutely. I'm with you 100%. Yeah. Now, does it have anything to do with they're working harder and they've adjusted to when Bo is getting the grip out of his glove to throw the ball to first? Ooh. I just don't think things happen because. I think it's because they went and worked on it. You see Bo on the run now, he ain't getting the ball, and you see him flipping the ball around in his glove up where he wants to release it. He's doing it in his glove.
Yeah.
He's made that adjustment off the field. It's no longer about catching the ground balls. He has so much confidence in doing that that he can do it with his feet all out of whack and catch it right. It's the throws. When do I get my grip? If I get my grip right out of my glove, the ball go where I want it to go. Yeah, you made a great point. What was the second part? I got fired up about the first part.
John Schneider, bullpen management, basically managing to keep guys fresh. I mean, I think he's managing like a guy who knows he doesn't have a guaranteed eighth inning option.
I think a lot of this is determined before the game actually starts. I know people roll their eyes and don't want to hear that. It's a fact.
But we also...
It's a fact.
We've also spent a lot of time talking about how successful postseason teams that were successful last year, their bullpens were not overworked.
No question.
It's a combination of starting, of innings from your starting pitchers and limiting the amount of time your relievers work. And then when you get the postseason, as you would say, then you can just abuse them.
I think if you get Manoah right, all of these conversations about John Schneider and the way he uses his bullpen will go away.
Yep. I'm with you entirely.
I really do think it.
With you entirely. 405.
Boy, that's a great question.
That was a real good question, Roy. Thank you. 405 is the first pitch tonight. Zach Wheeler against Kevin Gausman, or I guess technically this afternoon, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. Mr. Barker and myself will be along after the game for Blue Jays talk, so give us a call with your questions, your concerns. I'm sure something will happen today that everybody will be either concerned about.
Or somebody.
I got a good feeling about Kevin Gausman. Fastball's been hit lately, been hit hard lately.
It's 91.
But I got 91. I got a good feeling about Gausman today.
But a 99 occasionally.
And the Leafs, they're about to start that 7-game sweep that I've been talking about for a while.
Knock on wood.
For Jen, Mark, Lance, Mr. Barker beside me, I'm Jeff Blair. Thanks for joining us on Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360. We will be back tomorrow, same time again. If you're listening to us via podcast, please leave us a 5-star review. Talk about how much you like Kevin. Leave me out of it. Just kidding. Have a great day.